بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. باب استحباب القدوم على أهله نهارا وكراهته في الليل لغير حاجة. This is another brief chapter which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought on the cusp of the previous chapter which dealt with not absenting yourself unnecessarily for a very long time. In other words, when you go for a journey, safar, then once the objective of that journey is realized, then hasten back as quickly as possible to your family. This chapter, the desirability that your return to your family should take place during the daytime, and the undesirability, karahat, is frowned upon in Shariat, that unnecessarily to return at night. An Jabir radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal idha atala ahadukum al-ghayba fala yatruqanna ahlahu laylan. Wa fi riwayatin anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an yatruqa ar-rajulu ahlahu laylan. Muttafaqun alayhi. Jabir radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person has been away for a long time, so in other words, there is an exception, this hukam or ruling that do not return at night unnecessarily is when it is for a long journey. If the destination is very, very close, or the wife is aware of the movement of the husband, then the prohibition will fall away. Because sometimes in Shariat, you have a certain prohibition. Don't do something. The reason also is supplied. Don't do it because of this reason. So when those conditions don't exist, then automatically, logically also, the prohibition will fall away. What is the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that don't return at night? We find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this shows us the deep concern that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for his ummah. Cognizance is taken of even minute details that normally we would overlook. It's important to understand the hadith in the context of the time in which these expressions were or these injunctions were issued. Medina Munawwara, 14 centuries ago, there's no lights, there's no electricity. At night the streets would be absolutely dark. You enter your house in the middle of the night, especially when you've been away for a long time. It's possible that Masturat, who is alone at home, she's going to become very, very afraid. Maybe it's an intruder, maybe it's a thief, somebody breaking into the house. Leave 14 centuries ago. Even nowadays, when there's electricity, all forms of communication, etc., how often we hear that the person of the house was moving around at night or entered at night, was mistaken for an intruder, and sometimes somebody is shot, somebody is harmed or injured. And then the next day, obviously, there is regret when they realize that it was somebody from the household. So, one cognizance is taken of this, that it's possible that the family members could be unaware of the identity, they could fear a thief, etc. So, in that instance, avoid all this by returning during the daytime. We find that in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses the word فَلَا يَتْرُقَنَّ أَهْلَهُ لَيْلًا. Let him not return at night. The word turuq in Arabic means maji'u fil layl, to come at night. Anything that occurs at night or comes at night, in Arabic we find the word tariq is used, like in the Quran, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ. And سُمِّيَ النَّجْم tariq. For this reason, stars come out at night. That's why in the Arabic language, the word tariq is used for stars. So, فَلَا يَتْرُقَنَّ أَهْلَهُ لَيْلًا. Let him not return back to his family at night. In the Another riwayat, it is mentioned, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an yatruka ar-rajulu ahlahu laylan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited that a person should return to his family, come back to his wife, come back to his house at night. Some detail we're going to go into, but just before that, we'll complete the next hadith because the subject matter or the wording is very similar. وَعَنْ أَنَسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يَتْرُقُ أَهْلَهُ لَيْلًا. Anas radiallahu anhu says, describing the noble conduct of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says it was the noble practice of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would not return home from a journey at night. كَانَ يَأْتِيهِمْ غُدْوَةً أَوْ عَشِيَّةً. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would either return in the morning or ashiya. Now ashiya also can mean night, but in this context it means more likely the period just before sunset, salatul asr, like we find in the Quran also, wa ashiya wa hina tudhirun. The word ashiya in the Quran is used in that context referring to salah. Mufassirin say حين تظهرون refers to Zuhar Salah, Ashiya refers to Asr Salah. So وَكَانَ يَأْتِيهِمْ غُدْوَ أَوْ عَشِيَ. Rasulullah s.a.w. would return either in the morning, in the late part of the morning, or Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would return in the early part of the evening. Obviously, in the same hadith where he says that Nabi s.a.w. would not return at night, but he would return Ashiya, it's easily deduced from this that he means that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would return in the early part of the evening. As I mentioned previously, we find the deep connection of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the ummat and with our plight, identifying with the normal things that occur. For example, person is away for a very, very long time. Now suddenly he returns. The wife has got no chance to prepare herself. In this hadith, indirectly, we are being taught the adab and the etiquettes of marriage. Advance notice should be given. Let your wife prepare herself. They say, like we hear the English expression, that absent, that separation makes the heart grow fonder. When you were separated for a long time, Islam advocates this. Husband also return daytime. Don't return in the middle of the night. Prepare yourself. Return having put on some itar. Don't return in a disheveled state. The wife also, what happens with extended periods? Sometimes the hair grows long, the appearance becomes unkempt. A husband is not there, she's not required to beautify herself. He's been away for a long time. Part of her haya, part of her chastity is that to not be overly concerned about her appearance when her husband is not there. Now that the husband is coming back, return in the daytime, give her a chance to prepare herself. From this we learn indirectly the injunction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we should be making effort on our marriages. By a wife beautifying herself, particularly when the husband was absent for a long time, this increases greater desire for each of them to meet one another. If he has to return after a long time, his level naturally of desire has increased. Her appearance is unkempt. She hasn't prepared herself. He may say something or do something which will damage that marriage. This is to that extent Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes cognizance of a marital relationship and gives us this profound advice. I'm not just deducing this. We find there is one hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the illat. Like one illat or one reason for this prohibition, as we mentioned, is perhaps fear. Somebody pitches up middle of the night, especially when there's no electricity and it's dark, you think it's an intruder, etc. But this point that I'm mentioning, we find in other riwayat, it's mentioned, لِكَيْ تَمْتَشِطَ الشَّعِيثَ وَتَسْتَحِدَّ الْمُغِيبَ. Do not return at night. Return where in advance your wife is aware of the time that you are coming back, particularly when you went on a long journey and it's mentioned. so that she may comb her hair. Her hair that has now become disheveled, she may take a bath, she may comb it, she may prepare herself, she may beautify herself. Wa tastahiddul mughiba, excess hair in the body which normally grows in certain places under the armpits, etc., pubic hair, she may cleanse herself, she may prepare herself for a husband. Likewise, the husband should prepare himself for the wife. In other words, enhance the marital relationship. Make an effort on your building this mutual desire between husband and wife, rather than making effort on the outside world. So to this extent, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us these guidelines. Babu ma yaqul idha raja'a wa idha ra'a baldatahu. The next chapter, these are very brief chapters, this is why we are going through them quite quickly. What should a person say? Islamically, what is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when you are returning from a journey and you see your home? In this instance, it will mean when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached the outskirts of Madinah Munawwara, what would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Imam Nawawi rahimullah mentions fi hadith Ibn Umar fi babi takbir al musafir idha sa'id al thanaya. He says that under this chapter we can practice upon the hadith of Abdullah bin Umar, which has passed, in which it is said that when a musafir is going up an incline, he should say Allahu Akbar. Descending, Subhanallah. This actually should be part of our daily azkar. Daily, you're climbing up some stairs, Allahu Akbar. Coming down a lift, Subhanallah. Coming down an escalator, Subhanallah. This is a shan, shi'ar, this is a distinctive characteristic of a Muslim. What? La yazalu lisanuka ratban bidhikrillah. That your tongue should always be wet with the zikr of Allah. In zikr generally, all the time making zikr. What we learn from these ahadith, that there are certain superior forms of zikr. In other words, when a circumstance arises, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read something, then that is, to read that is also zikr. But it is superior, because at that time, you are following what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. For example, like you said, you're going in an incline, Allahu Akbar. Coming down, Subhanallah. Returning home from a journey, you reach the outskirts of Overport, or you're entering your street, you can see your house. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what would he do when Madina Munawwara came near? Obviously, he would engage in the zikr of Allah, but what would he read? Unfortunately, we've run out of time. The next hadith, the masnoon zikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do when he would return. This is something also when we return back home from a journey, etc., we should try and practice upon this. Allah gives tawfiq subhanallah.